with your background, Billy? Did you come through an extreme jazz schooling, or did you wake up with a whiskey bottle in your mouth?
Neither of those two extremes, but maybe somewhere in the middle. I mean, I think I grew up always playing music, and not always playing the drums, but always playing music. And I never had a big epiphany where I said, well, I'm going to become a professional musician. It was more like a compulsion. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, have always played music, and eventually I didn't have time for a day job, and I was, you know, making a living as a musician. So it was all, I think, very gradual and very organic.
Yeah. So what was the Billy Conway before, or when you had a day job?
Oh, I think like any musician or any artist, you know, artists always figure out ways to make the rent. But I taught school for a while, and I'm a pretty good carpenter, and I know a variety of things.
Mm.
I mean, I enjoy teaching school, and I enjoy carpentry work. So Nothing truly unbearable. I've never been a waiter, and I think the world is a better place for that, because I wouldn't be a good one.
Now, I read somewhere that it was very much an experiment, or sort of like a sound band, when Morphine first started. Was it quite surprising to be suddenly thrown up into the lights?
Yeah, I mean, it suddenly is never the way anything really happens in the music business.
Yeah.
But we were really surprised. As you said, our first gig was really, you know, just an idea. There's a lot of that kind of thing in Boston, you know. Somebody will have an idea and they'll go play a gig, you know, and it may really only have the intention of one show. And Morphine was sort of in that spirit. And then eventually, you know, we played that first show and people were interested, and so we did it again and then started to do it more frequently. And once again, that was a bit of an organic process as well.
Mm. Now, I recall from the last couple of interviews I've written up from Boston bands saying, oh, Boston, home of guitar, you know, rock, blah, blah, Lemonheads, you know, Buffalo Tom, all that sort of thing. So, why is it that, how did Morphine come out of Boston then? Like, is there a regression or a throwaway from that scene that we see a lot of, the guitar sound? Is there like an underground low rock scene or something?
Yeah, it's huge. Oh, I think, you know, part of it is when any of us buy that notion of, oh, this is the Boston sound, or this is the Seattle sound, you know, or this is the sound from Perth. I think it's really, you know, it's really only one of the sounds. You know, in Boston, there's lots of different kinds of music, you know, from ethnic music to techno. And Boston is a really good place because there are a lot of clubs that have live music and a lot of students and good college radio. And I think those things add up to a pretty loose environment that is supportive of experimentation and all around cacophony sometimes. But yeah, we're just part of the scene. You know, to me, when, you know, I know what the generalizations are about the Boston music scene, but it's never, when you're inside it, it's never felt that way to me.
Yeah.
There's always a lot of different kinds of music, you know, great jazz and, you know, Haitian music, all kinds of stuff going on there. It just so happens a few bands get popular and people call it the Boston sound, but, you know, it's only part of it.
As Morphine started the whole juggernaut started rolling, you were picked up in such magazines as Rolling Stone and 17. I like it. So what does morphine have to offer to 15-year-old girls in boob tubes?
I'm not quite sure, but hopefully, you know, there's something that they can put their teeth into, something that resonates for them.
What is it, something like the gravelly stubble chin and the dirty low rock or something?
Well, I would say your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, this last tour that we did in the United States was most of the shows were all ages shows, and we were quite surprised by the number of, you know, younger people that were in the audience, as well as, you know, I mean, it's an interesting thing to be on the stage and look out and see, you know, a 14-year-old, you know, girl, and at the same time over in the corner you see a 50-year-old, you know, jazz bow kind of guy coming to check out the show, and I think that's great.
I just feel that way. I'm on the first to Atlantic City. Later on today, yeah.
Where else would you like to see morphine tunes coming up? Because you're Spanking the Monkey, I really like that movie.
Yeah, I did too. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, we also have a couple songs, and I don't know if the movie's released here yet, called Get Shorty.
Mm.
It's John Travolta and a couple other pretty good actors.
Mm.
And it's based on an Elmore Leonard book called Get Shorty. And it came out in the States recently and is doing really well. And we have two songs on that, one of which they just lifted right from Yes, If I Had My Chance. And then another that we created for the film. So, I mean, we enjoy doing that, and I think if we could, we would love to do a whole film as opposed to, you know, just a song or two, you know, actually score a film.
Mm.
So if you know any good directors making a film.
David Lynch. I reckon you'd go good with a David Lynch movie.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you should say that, because when Mark and I were in Treat Her Right, we did some songs for Wild at Heart.
Mm.
And we actually were in the film until the final edits, and then we got left on the cutting room floor.
Oh, really? Where were you?
Yeah.
Whereabouts were you in the film?
It was a barroom scene early on in the film when she first lets the audience know that her husband's in prison.
Yeah.
But they rewrote it. And the reason they cut it, this is actually a great little anecdote, the reason they cut it wasn't because our footage was bad, it was because they'd hired some bikers, you know, to make the bar look tough and hang around, and it was smoky in there. And one of the bikers was allergic to the fake smoke. So he was always coughing and really couldn't get it together during this scene. And then they found out when they looked at the footage that he was in them all coughing away. So we got left on the floor because of the allergic biker.
So do you think people have latched onto morphine's safe and sexy sounds?
Safe and sexy, that sounds like something.
Yeah, I wrote down, because sometimes I try to verbalize what the hell I'm listening to, because it's pretty impossible, basically. And I saw on a press release of yours, Low Rock, but I added in Barry White as well. The Low Rock of Barry White.
Uh-huh, I like that.
Yeah. So would you consider Barry White fronting the band for a track or two? In a German?
I would love to hear that guy sing right up close. I mean, what a voice.
How low can your bass go? How low can Barry go?
I'm sure they both can go lower than they think, you know.
Super funky, love baby, oh,
baby dolls. All right, yes, hello, my name is Mark. Not super rich, no superstar. Did you know the president is super, super, super sexy? Automatic taxi stock, electric cigarette.